Amen. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning and for pointing us to Jesus and to His call on our lives to be available, to serve Him and to serve others. You know, when I look at Jesus' life and His message, He was always saying some countercultural things about being different and how being different, you know, brings true satisfaction and fulfillment and happiness into our lives. Countercultural teaching, like, you want to be first, you got to be last. You want to be great, you need to serve. You want to save your life, then you must lose it. And you know, for several years, I've been intrigued by a verse in Matthew chapter 20, and really the whole passage there, but in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, and this verse is, at times, it's really encouraged me to want to be like my Jesus, but at other times, you know, it has really convicted me because I know that I'm not living out His call on my life to be available as much as I should be. Matthew 20, 28, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 20. I'll be just in that passage this morning. But I'll start at the end of that passage. In Matthew 20, 28, it says, "For even the Son of Man," which is a name for Jesus, "for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give His life as a ransom for many." For even Jesus came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give His life as a ransom for many. You see, when Jesus took the time to explain His reason for coming among us, He was simple and He was direct. It was to serve and to give His life for others, not to be served. Not to have to grab the spotlight or make a name for himself or attract attention or become successful or famous or powerful. But He came to serve and just to give His life away. And I struggle with that sometimes. I'm convicted by that sometimes. Because I don't know, isn't it true that we would rather be served than serve others? I mean, if we're honest, isn't that true? I think every one of us struggles with being selfish, and if you're anything like me, you'll be pleased to know that even the people who hung out with Jesus, those who were the closest to Him, they were also selfish, and they struggled with that. And listen, these are the people that spent all their time with Jesus. They were with Jesus 24/7. They were His followers, His disciples. They camped together. They ate together. They sat under the teaching of Jesus. They saw His miracles. They breathed in the same air as God in the flesh. And yet, they were selfish. They were selfish. If you read in chapter 20, verses 21 or so there, that you begin to see that the disciples begin to have an argument about who's going to be first in the kingdom, right? And they're really wanting to make sure that when He sets up His kingdom, that they're there with Him on His left and on His right. And even James and John, the sons of thunder, they're so committed to this that they get their mama involved in the conversation, right, and in the argument, and she says, she comes to Jesus with her sons, and she knelt kind of respectfully before Him and just asked a favor. And Jesus said, "Well, what is your request, right? What is your request?" And she replied, in your kingdom, Jesus, will you let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and one on your left?" And she was really in there just, you know, for her boys. How about you moms in here? I mean, do you blame her for that? No, right? I mean, it's just a good Jewish mama. She wanted the best for her kids. I mean, they were already not going to be doctors or lawyers. They were just following this Jesus around. And maybe she just wanted to be able to tell her friends. I mean, all she could tell them, they're fishermen. But maybe she could say, because I don't know, moms need bragging rights, right? Mom needs some things to brag about, especially when it comes to their boys. And maybe she would say, when your kingdom is done, you know, they're going to be in His luxury box, right? One on each side of Him. That's what she wanted. I mean, you can't blame her. I mean, that's just a good mom. How many of you had a mom like that was there for you? Yeah, I mean, it was just always fighting for you. I did, right? I mean, my mom, when I was 40 years old, she talked about me to somebody, and she said, "My boy was captain of the patrols." And I'm going, Mom, that was in the fifth grade. I'm like a grown man now. Let's think of something else, right? I mean, she thought I was the greatest player on the Gator football team. Even though I never played a down, right? She thought I was the greatest, right? That was my mom. She was always cheering and she was always there for me. And I can just imagine when the other 10 disciples heard, you know, what James and John asked, you know, and what their mom, you know, they were so mad, right? I mean, can you picture this? You know, the scene, you got to believe that the 10 other guys were going, James, John, I can't believe that you guys stooped to that all-time low. I mean, seriously, bringing your mom, come up to Jesus? And they were mad. And the reason they were mad is because they didn't want James and John to have a position that they wanted, right? They also wanted to be there on his left and his right. There was no way they were going to give up the best seats in the house without a fight. That sound familiar? And what does Jesus do in that moment? Jesus kind of throws the penalty flag, right? He calls a timeout. And he begins to lay out the kingdom rules of what it means to follow him and really set up a new paradigm that we really have before us today, a new paradigm of living. Look what he says in verse 25. Matthew 20, 25, he says, "But Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave.'" You see, Jesus was saying, if you want to be great, you've got to serve. You've got to serve. And so what I want us to hear this morning is this very important, it's just very important to the whole message, really, is this, that Jesus doesn't reject greatness, right? Nor one's pursuit toward greatness, but he does redefine it. He doesn't reject it, but he redefines it. He says, if you want to be great, you serve. If you want to be in the front, you need to go to the back. If you want to stand out in life, you step down. And then he gives his own life as an example. And he says that verse in verse 28, "For even me, the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if it's too early to really understand this, but for me, this is the most mind-blowing, startling quality of Jesus. Jesus, the God-man that says, "I am a servant." If anybody should be served, right, it should be him. If anybody exalted, it should be him. Anybody adored, it's him, right? But he said, "No, I came to serve." And you know what that did? It shocked people. And guess what? 2,000 years later, it is still shocking people. It's shocking people, this call to serve. And it's mostly shocking us men, I think. I mean, listen, let's admit it, guys. We not only intuitively know this, but surveys say that women are 3 times more likely to serve than men. And you say, "Well, why is that? Are you sure that survey's right?" You know, survey was probably done by a woman, right? I can hear you, right? Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why that's true. Because women are better human beings than us dudes. Just be honest. Let's be honest, guys, right? We or selfish, right? And really all of us struggle with it. It's really this call to be available to serve. It's really difficult for all of us, male and female. And so this morning I just wanted to help you know, how can we improve our serve? How can we improve and make sure that we are available for that call of service. And the first thing we have to do is we have to recognize what is natural. Before we can begin to even think about serving, we have to come to grips with human nature. Begin to think, why doesn't serving come naturally? I mean, just think about this. Why doesn't serving come naturally? And the answer is because I don't want to. You know, it always seems to get back to me, myself, and I. I don't know if it's that way for you, but when I think about my own self, that's what comes naturally. I don't wake up in the morning and begin to think, serve, right? I don't do that. I mean, since I was a kid, I would wake up in the morning and I would think, superhero, right? That's what I wanted to be, right? I wanted to be a superhero. Anybody have those dreams or have had those dreams of being a superhero? Anybody? I mean, no? Okay. I mean, those that had that, who did you want to be? Spider-Man. Okay, that's the new number one answer. What was it for my generation? Superman. Exactly, it was Superman. Right? Every morning I'd wake up and go, I want to be Superman. I'd kind of push my cape out, you know, it wasn't really there. How about you ladies? I saw some of you shake your head and say, no, I didn't wake up and want to be a superhero. If you did, what superhero would you want to be? Wonder Woman. It's the only one, right? Mia over here, she says, I want to be Spider-Man too. Wonder Woman. You know, I've said this before. Kim didn't dream of being a superhero. She was shaking her head when I was asking that. She dreamed of being married to a superhero. That's what her dream was. That was her dream. Come on now. And don't think it was me. It wasn't, because she had this crush back then on Boy Wonder, Robin. She had a crush on him. She just loved Robin. And so she wanted to grow up and be married to Robin. That's just giving you some inside secrets to the Davises. You know, when surveys ask people why they want to be superheroes, nobody says to help people. Nobody says really to serve. I mean, nobody wants to be Batman to fight crime. No, the reason you want to be Batman is because you get to have a cool Batmobile and park it in a cool Batcave, right? And to beat up people, right, who make fun of you for wearing Speedos and tights. Well, listen to this. Jesus had all the superpowers in the world. Yet the Bible says he came to serve. And so we have to recognize what is natural and replace it with what God calls us to be. Servants. To serve one another. To follow the example of Jesus. If I'm going to do that, I have to recognize what's natural. And then here's what I've got to do. I've just got to decide whether I care or not. Whether I really care. That's the reality. I've got to decide, do I care? Do I care about this selfishness in my life? You know, that do I care that I always tend to go back to me, myself, and I? Does that bother me? Do I care? And if it does, then I do the second thing. I fight for what is spiritual. I recognize what is natural. And then I begin to fight for what is spiritual. You can run away and hide and keep living a selfish life. Or you can make a commitment. All right, I'm going to battle. I'm going to battle and fight for what is spiritual. That if I really care, well, then I'm going to make a commitment to battle. And with that battle, what that means is that as I go through life, and I realize this, and I go, you know, I deserve a break today. I need to have it my way. and I go after that selfishness, that's when the battle kicks in. And I go, whoa, wait a second. Game on. He's called me to something greater than this, to be different. And I've got to battle what comes naturally. And that's where I get to decide whether I'm going to obey God's way or my own selfish way. I mean, that's the key word, obedience. When you battle for what is spiritual, that's obeying God's way. Obedience and servanthood, these are like Siamese twins. They go together. Yeah, you don't separate those. Look what Jesus says in verse 26 again. If you have your Bibles open, it says, "But among you, it should be quite different." Among you, it's going to be different. And what's he saying? He's saying among you, those of you who are followers of Christ, he's saying it should be different. And when I talk about living a life that's different, I don't mean weird, kind of different, but just different. And personally, in my life, and this is a little insight to Monty Davis, when I get the most disappointed with myself, it's when I realize I wasn't different. You know, when I'm on the basketball court, or now these days the pickleball court or whatever, and I lose my temper, and the competitive juices are flowing, and I begin to talk smack, or I begin to say something, or I throw an elbow, or whatever, and I realize, man, I wasn't different. Or when I walk in Chipotle to get my order, and they mess up my order as I go through the line, and I kind of just lose it, and I take it out on the servants behind the counter there, right? And I just go, are you kidding me? Oh, man, it's just pretty easy. It's just like, you know, and in those moments, I get the most disappointed with myself, because I realize I was exactly like the world. I get disappointed because I followed what came naturally to me. And I hear that verse kind of spoken into my heart. But Monty, among you, it should be different. It should be different. So here's my question to you. No matter really where you are spiritually, when it comes to servanthood, are you different? Are you different? You see, the battle is, I've got to battle either to obey God through serving Him and serving others, or obey what's natural and serve myself. Just serve myself. That's the battle. Do I obey God through serving, or obey what's natural and serve myself? And maybe you're thinking like I am, this is not going to be easy. And you're right. It's not going to be easy. But the good news is we don't have to go at it alone. I want to say, thank God, Jesus Christ can give you and I the power and the strength to do this. That we're not on our own. That when we recognize the sinful nature of our heart, we battle it. We fight it. We begin to fight for what is spiritual. And here's the not being alone apart. We do the possible, and we have faith that God's going to come in and do the impossible. So what's the possible? Here's the possible. When I recognize what's natural, I just do the opposite. I take that step to serve. I take that step to put the other person first. I take that step to listen better. I take that little step to pick up my stuff, right? And I take that step to serve even before I'm asked. I do the possible. Then God comes in, and He does the impossible. He begins to mold me and shape me to be more like a servant. So that what is typically the exception in my life becomes the normal. Does that make sense? You see, I just take that little small step. I recognize what's natural, and sometimes in the midst of the natural, I stop. And I ask my God to help me fight for what is spiritual. And I take that step and I start in just little small ways. And the more that you do that, you know what happens? In your soul, you begin to go, wow, that felt right. That was the right thing to do. And you take those little steps, and here's what God does. He takes all of those little steps of serving others, and He brings about big spiritual growth in you. You want to be great? Serve. You want to be first? Be last. You want to make it to the front? Start in the back. And start now. And you can start with little things. Mother Teresa said it this way late in her life. She said, "Little things are indeed little, but to be faithful in many little things is a great thing." You know what I'm convinced of? I'm convinced that God wants to do great things in each of our lives. That He wants to do great things in your life. And I so want us here at The Rock to be a church where we serve, where we're on mission for God, placing our emphasis on where God places His. On people, especially people that are hurting. You see, people matter to God. And so they must matter to us. And we put our hearts and our emphasis and place our resources so that we can reach others with His love. A real servant who is one who loves the ones he loves. Jesus says, "You can't love me unless you love the ones I love." And so because God has called us to serve this generation, I want us to really begin to get to a place where we make this statement, where we say, "I value that, and I'm going to fight for that. I value God's purposes over my possessions, my positions, my popularity, my pleasure." That we become a people that we say, you know, to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I say, however, whenever, wherever, and whatever you ask me to do, my answer in advance is yes. I'm available. I'm available. Wherever you lead, and whatever the cause, I'm ready anytime, anywhere. Because, God, I want to be used by you in such a way. And I think this is your heart if you're a follower of Christ. That, God, I want to be used by you in such a way that on the final day, when we're standing before our God, our Savior, that He will say, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant." He didn't say, "Well done, good and faithful giver or member," but "Well done, good and faithful servant." Jesus said, if you want to be great, then be a servant. And of course, the greatest of all is the most servant of all. And so my goal is I want to get to a place where I recognize that genuine servanthood has happened in my life, when it happens without recognition and without reservation. You understand? That when I serve not to be noticed. And I serve without stopping. Right? Without reservation. Should I do this? Are they telling me the truth? No, I just serve. I serve without recognition and without reservation. And I'll just be honest with you. I'm a long way off. But I want to be headed in that direction. Don't you? And so I want to ask you, no matter where you are in your faith walk, no matter where you are, you know, in the season of life, would you join me? Would you join me on this journey to be on mission for God, reaching our community with His kindness? Would you join me and let us together be a church that serves our Jesus and serves others without recognition, without having, oh, look at me, or look at the rock. No, without that, and without reservation. Somebody says this is an opportunity, or God gives us an opportunity, and we say, yes, I'm available, and we take that step of faith. And we serve without recognition and without reservation. Will you join me in that? Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your love. For the blessings, God, that you bring into our lives, Father. And God, I pray that you would give us the courage that we might begin to understand what it really means to serve one another, and in ultimately serving you, God. Jesus, thank you that you came to this earth as a model. An example. Thank you for giving us the example of washing others' feet. Thank you for the example of just being focused on others. Thank you for the ultimate act of servanthood by going to the cross. So that I might be forgiven. So that we might experience your mercy and grace and have opportunity to come into a personal relationship with our God forever. Thank you for being a servant and giving your life as a ransom, a payment. For so many like us here this morning. Father, help us to make sure that that love that you displayed of serving others and giving your life in an act of servanthood on the cross, that we allow that love to compel us to want to love you back and to come into that personal forever relationship with you, and then begin to allow you to use us to be different. To make a difference in the place that you have called us for such a time as this. May we be a people who serve, serving others, and through that service to be able to serve you, O God. May we be in relationship with you so that on that final day, we can hear you say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for wanting to be in relationship with us, for wanting to use us to make a difference, to be different. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.